Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we women-splain the latest technology. I am your host, consumer tech reporter Florence Ion, and I am joined here for her very last episode. Sob is the co-host of Gadgets, Protocol's news editor, Caitlin McGarry.
Flo, I'm overwhelmed. This has been such a journey, and I'm happy I was on it with you.
I am too. And listen, this is not going to be the last time you're here from Caitlin, because this podcast will remain here. It's not going anywhere. We're just going to be having some different voices on. But
yes,
because it is your last time as like official co-host, we're going to have a little party a little bit later. So we're going to invite on a former Gizmodo colleague and a current Protocol colleague for Caitlin, Brian Kahn. And we're also going to have somebody from Earther here at Gizmodo, Molly Taft, to talk about how tech is ruining the climate. So,
right. It's going to be uplifting. No, it's going to be informative, but also fun because Molly and Brian are like the best people. So can't wait to chat with them.
Mm-hmm. And great people to hear about how the Earth is being destroyed. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we hear about that often, but we should reframe it in terms of, you know, the devices that we buy and live with and the frontiers of technology, obviously crypto, virtual reality, metaverse stuff. Like, we need to figure out how we're impacting the Earth with both our current technology and the future. And so Molly and Brian will explain it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Precisely. And then, well, before actually we talk about that, we're going to talk about a very, you know, this is a gadget podcast. And so I had to bring on the weirdest gadget that's been trending all morning in both, I would say in both the North American and European circles. This Dyson headphone / face mask concoction. We're going to talk about it.
It's not
for COVID, by the way.
I don't even know what I'm looking at. I can't wait for people to just like open the show notes, click this link. I'm looking at it right now and I'm just like bewildered. So yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Dyson, the wild brand. And then we're going to end, Caitlin, today we're going to end with a little bit of fangirling over our favorite thing, which is the outdoors.
We do love the outdoors. It's like always been a thing for us. We both like to hike.
Mm-hmm.
We're both now, finally, both of us in California, and we
have wary of snakes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, are you a snake? Like, are you afraid of snakes? Really?
Well, no, but, you know, I did warn you and our mutual friend Leah about the snakes that live on the way up to the Griffith Observatory, and you did. Was validated. So
they came up
again recently. So
I did forget that there were snakes there. Honestly, like, they don't faze me that much, but like, it's good to know. We should tell the people where to avoid snakes.
Yeah, that's right. In case Indiana Jones is listening to the podcast, gotta make sure that he's covered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a common fear. All right, well, before,
exactly. Before we get into it, really quick, if you haven't been to Gizmodo.com yet this week, which is sad for you, you should come to Gizmodo.com. I wanted to let you all know we've got the new iPad Air review is up. Phil finally got that up this week, and it is still great, still fine.
You know, it seemed fine. I'll actually probably buy this one because I need a new iPad. And yeah, it seems like the perfect like sweet spot. It's in the middle. It's like not too expensive, not too big, not too cheap. Or
it has the M1 chip in it, and so you're going to get all that benefit, which is really what it's about here.
Yeah.
So, and for anybody who needs tech help, Phil has also launched a new little column called What Gadget Should I Buy? And actually, when you submit to Phil a query, it goes to all of us on the consumer tech team. So we're all vying in with our opinions of things that we've tested. So if you're interested, check that out. I will link to that in the show notes. And now, Caitlin, it is time for us to get into our app.
All right. Let's do it.
Now, this is a gadget podcast. I was going to try and start us out with my impression of Bane.
But I realized. Oh, God. listeners, you should have seen the Bane face. I did not see that coming.
Of Bane. I didn't really pay attention through that Batman movie because after Heath Ledger's
passing. Oh, I thought that was one of the scariest ones.
I know.
That was scary. Bane as a character is, like, really terrifying to me.
I know. Okay. You know what else is terrifying? Just...
Oh, God.
The Dyson Zone headphones. In. Yeah. They have this air-purifying face guard, which is why we bring up Bane, because you basically look like you've got something just, like, clomped onto your face.
Yes.
Might even compare it to, I don't know, an alien that maybe you've seen in a sci-fi series is just, like, clomped onto your face, sucking all the life out of you.
So, like, okay, let's just – okay, let me describe what I'm looking at here. So it's a pair of over-ear headphones, like, and, you know, AirPods Max or, like, some Sonys or whatever. But, like, they have a sort of cone shape quality to the ear cup. So it's got, like, this Madonna, like, cone bra vibe going. And then on top of that, you also have what appears to be like a face guard covering your mouth, and it's apparently an air purifier. I don't know who needs any of this. Like, okay, we also don't know how much they cost, which is, it's going to be a lot. But I just would like to take a second to talk about Dyson as a company, who they, like, always forever doing the absolute most, in some cases unnecessarily. They have, like, vacuums with lasers in them. They have absolutely wild, like, hairstyling tools that cost, like, $500.
That Santa did not bring me, by the way, for Christmas, so I am still without the coveted Dyson Airwrap.
Okay. Someone should get on that for Flo, who has a birthday coming up in May.
Thank
tourist
you.
Season. Watch out. Okay, we'll just drop some hints. People have a month and a half to get it together. I have never used a Dyson hairstyling tool, so I can't speak to whether you actually need the Airwrap, but
no, well,
I have seen it on Instagram.
I have seen folks, like, swap out my hairstylist, the people that she shares the salon with, I've seen them convert over to Dyson hair tools. And so they've been getting more traction and other, you know, outside of the vacuum cleaners. But these particular headphones really do look like someone lopped off part of, like, the vacuum cleaner. Or actually, Caitlin can see in my video sample, I have the Dyson, I have one of the stand-up air purifying fans.
Yeah.
Just, like,
that's weird looking.
It is weird looking. I think my kid has destroyed it because she just beats
it
up.
What do you need it for? Is it like fire season situation, or
it was supposed to be, but then there was that whole remember there was the big, I forget who it was, but they uncovered that Dyson's air purifying abilities were not as stringent, or, like, not as strong for what we needed to deal with fire season. So,
oh, okay.
And now just use it to cool me down. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So this, the face mask on, it's very weird. The face mask on the headphones is, okay. So you know how, like, I'm trying to describe what it looks like to people. You're really just going to have to click on this because
it really, like, does look like Bane.
It's very bizarre.
Like, it really does. A grill over your face.
So it has four. It has four purification modes. So it's, like, constantly, like, oscillating between, like, high, medium, whatever, depending on your environment. No one is going to buy this. Are you seeing it? Like, would you use this product?
Here's what, like, I'm thinking about.
Why do you need to listen to headphones at the same time as breathing in this purified air from this machine.
Do you maybe remember vaguely when the over-the-ear headphones became very popular, people realized, oh, I can drown out the noise on the plane? I feel like in our yes. post-COVID world, more tech is going to come out with something like this. Dyson was already really pushing their products like, oh, we can purify the air. Oh, the climate control, yeah. everything sucks. I could see people in first class just having these on, A, to show like how much money they have, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, when noise canceling headphones came out, it was like, well, I can afford the $400 headphones, so I'm going to buy these. And I could see this, you know, I could see some people catching on to the grift here. And the thing is, again, this does not protect you against COVID, by the way. You would have to use a special little mask that goes on the inside, because the whole yeah. mask piece is not fully sealed. There's still
yeah, it just like lightly in. Covers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is an airplane thing. Sure.
Sure. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
I would never.
We don't know how much it costs anyway. So we don't know how much the first class, business class folks are going to laud themselves over being able to afford this. It could be, you know, this fan that's behind me. I believe this was around like $600.
Wow.
Five or $600 when it first came out. This is a couple of years old. And the filters inside this thing are $60 a piece.
Oh, my.
It's expensive.
Air purification. Who knew?
It is. But the Koe that I have upstairs that I bought for $250 off Amazon, which, by the way, I can wash the filters in the shower. So, you know, I can take like the shower head and clean them off, put them back in. It does way more for my environment during a fire season than this thing does. So just something to keep in mind.
Right.
With some of these products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's yeah. Sometimes you're just paying for nothing.
Paying Isn't to be the first one the to truth? Say, yeah, I'm the first one that got it or something to that effect, which I kind of Dyson kind of has an air of that to their products.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I really hope I see someone wearing these headphones in person one day. I just to see someone out and about, it would just bring me so much joy.
I mean, I feel like because Dyson is working on it, that means that this technology has been, you know, shrunk down to... All I'm saying is I can see a lot of knockoffs coming out.
So you think soon? We're going to be seeing like people wearing like yes. air purification masks?
Yes. Okay. The same because I don't know, though, of the pandemic.
We can't even get people to wear like regular masks.
Like... Well, I don't mean 100% of the population, but okay. I do see parts of the population that will be convinced that this is something that will help them. And maybe the technology for that will come out. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. I see this product going nowhere. I'm sorry. I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic.
I know.
What can I say?
I am actually really bummed, by the way, that Dyson... So apparently, by the way, they went through 500 iterations of this Dyson Zone,
and
which
still
is wild.
Settled on this one? I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Mm-mm.
I am waiting for their self walking up the stairs robot vacuum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm told that this is something that is coming out soon. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you get to review that. It would be a joy. It would be a joy.
All right. Well, let's take a break from talking about gadgets. We're going to bring on some climate experts.
We are.
Up next.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All Well, we're back, and we've got two wonderful guests joining us. First, we have Molly Taft from Earther / Gizmodo. Hi, Molly.
Hi. I know that, like, link is always really awkward.
I just got to let people know that you are here, you know, who are you are here for, and who you are really representing. And then also representing the former Gizmodo post he used to have and the current protocol post that he has now is Brian Kahn. Hi, Brian.
Hello. How's it going, former coworker?
I know.
We already explained the dynamic here at the top of the pod, so people are aware that, yes, we got a mix of current and former coworkers here to have a party to send me off.
It's a big family reunion.
It is.
Yeah. Doing it right.
Exactly. Well, and it helps that Brian and Molly are so good at their jobs and what they do, because the both of you seem to have the stars aligned, the moon was out. I think the moon was in Aries this week. And the both of you put out some pretty incredible reporting this week. I want to start first with Molly. So first of all, Caitlin and I, because this is her last episode, we're always railing on NFTs and crypto for just being like completely useless wastes of time. And Brian and Molly seem to have both
It's a little
with
more
evidence
nuance than that, I guess I should say. do think NFTs are generally a scam and that crypto is bad for the environment. And
we do.
Also partly a scam.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Caitlin, for putting some journalistic touch on that. Yes,
of course. Mm-hmm. But yes, Molly, Brian, you have done some reporting on the environmental effects of crypto. Yeah. And that's not great.
Molly, we're going to
spoiler alert.
We're going to start with you. You took the international approach to this. So your article really focused on an NFT garden in the Amazonian rainforest. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain a little more.
it's a weird one. So, you know, as I'm sure you guys have noticed as you're talking about NFTs in general, like everyone is trying to NFT everything all the time. So, and kind of conservation efforts are no exception. We already saw like a couple months ago, I think it was the World Wildlife Organization tried to NFT endangered animals, got kind of like broad pushback on that because, it's not only dumb, but it's also like kind of missing the point, but, you know, so, yeah, like, okay. I think that, you know, on the surface level, kind of, you can understand some of the impetus where you've got this really hot market for something and people willing to spend a lot of money on it. So, you know, I've personally had a lot of conversations with people who think it's a good idea to try to turn this into something that benefits the environment. Unfortunately, there are a lot of caveats there. So this new company, Nemus, I believe it's pronounced Nemus. It's a Brazilian-based company. And you know, their mission is they are selling NFTs that represent specific tracts of land. They own, I think, a couple hundred acres right now of the Amazonian rainforest. I couldn't figure out where exactly. There's a lot of crypto operations or NFT operations. A lot of these details are pretty scuzzy. But they own parts of the forest. And so their proposition is they're going to sell NFTs that represent specific tracts of land to people they are calling guardians.
This reeks of adopt a child overseas. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say like adopt a part of the highway.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Earther friendly. We don't adopt highways, okay? We destroy them and turn into bike lanes.
Exactly. That's what we do.
Adopt a highway. That's like not as bad as adopt a child.
That was a little better than mine. I went to a Christian high school where I was fed that weekly, so I apologize. That's where my brain went.
Oh,
first.
No. I remember those commercials that would come on at like 10 p.m. like for like 5 minutes long. But I think that the adopt a highway analogy is actually apt. When I was a kid, I used to see those signs and think you were literally adopting a highway. But as my parents pointed out to me, it was more like a metaphor for, you know, helping. I was like, can we adopt a highway? So this is actually kind of similar to what's going on here. You can't actually own the tract of land after you buy an NFT. Like, you can't actually own a lot of the things that NFTs are sold of. But what this company is proposing is you will be able to be involved in the maintenance and conservation decisions. You'll be able to get special data about what they're doing to restore the land. And like a lot of kind of NFT operations, they have a very, they have kind of a very lofty goal of what sort of their DAO that is associated with this project is going to look like, where they sort of envision this future where, you know, the decentralized control or like ownership of NFTs associated with land will lead to this beautiful world where, you know, the economy flows between indigenous peoples who are helping restore the forest, and no one has to, they have some really lofty goals for restoring the forest. But in the short term, it does seem like the money is going to go towards some sort of conservation project. So that's kind of how it works, which, you know, and Brian can probably echo me as well, because he's been following this too, but I'm not like surprised that we have this right now. What I did think was interesting about this company is they've had one interview in Reuters, one English speaking interview, and most people who are running environmentally focused NFT or crypto projects at least have some sort of modicum of like, oh, we're aware of the critiques, and we're working on it. We're buying carbon offsets. You know, we're based in Ethereum, which is switching so soon to this system that will be less damaging. But the like, honestly, to his credit, the CEO of this company was like, that doesn't matter. Like, our mission is so much more important than like carbon emissions from crypto. Which, like, really, when I read that interview, I was like, wowie, okay. So that's kind of what initially caught my eye about it, basically.
Oh my God.
That's a lie.
That is a lie.
You know what? I gotta say, I respect it. I respect that. Yeah, that's exactly. Like, look.
Interesting.
You know, whatever.
Whatever. Who cares about carbon?
I mean, you know, just, well, I mean, I care, but I'm glad that he's just like, whatever. I totally respect, I'm going for it. It's fine.
Yeah, I also should say that I asked the company for clarification of a lot of this stuff, and I never heard back from them. So this is taken from one interview with the founder that I could find. But you know, maybe he was misquoted, but like, it would be a wild misquote.
I mean, I guess like you have to, if we have to deal with NFTs, which we do, at least they're. Our efforts to make them like less awful. I don't, would that be, can, would this project fall under that umbrella? I don't know.
Yeah. So that's kind of like what was, yeah, Brian, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know. I struggle with that. Cause it's like, it's, you're still turning this natural world into a commodity, and maybe the end goal is to kind of save it, which is great if that's how you view, you know, the only route to save it. But that strikes me as kind of a very reductive way of thinking about nature and our relationship to it. It's like, oh, if we can just turn it into another thing to buy and chuck on a blockchain and someone gets a JPEG certificate, then like, we did it. But like, I don't really feel like that ends up restoring the world as it should be. So it's kind of a, I don't even know if it's a half measure. It's something.
Yeah. But I don't think it is. Brian, I wanted to actually pivot, because so you were covering kind of the stateside effect of what's going on in the crypto world. And I thought it was just like an interesting parallel to the article that Molly wrote. Do you want to talk a little bit about it? And you went on location, right, for this one?
I did. Yeah, I got to go to the Finger Lakes in February, a great time to visit upstate
so
New York.
Cold.
yes, right after a winter storm came through and there were like icicles and everything. And then I was cold and it sucked. But it didn't suck because everyone up there was very nice. But yeah, I went up there to sort of visit this. Well, I tried to visit a Bitcoin mine up there. It's technically a power plant, but they basically, a private equity firm, bought a power plant, turned it into a Bitcoin mine, and they provide a little bit of power and then do a lot of Bitcoin mining using natural gas basically all the time. So last year, their revenue was $9 million from generating power and $88 million from mining Bitcoin. So it's basically a Bitcoin mine with a little bit of a power plant attached. And so, you know, looking at like, what does it mean to do that? It means bad things happen, and it means that New York might not make its climate goals. So, you know, it's the other side of this. Like, you have these transactions happening on the blockchain. Bitcoin, you can't do NFTs, but like, you know, you're still dealing with cryptocurrency. and you're frying the climate in the process. And this little town is kind of like, no, we're not going to do that. So we're going to see what happens. There actually should be a ruling by the time this podcast comes out of if the permits for this plant get renewed or not. So we'll see.
This is incredible to me because I can see this. I can basically see this this subset of grift basically coming after folks who are kind of like on the outlier, like people who live out in the middle of nowhere where there's a lot of room to build these things. It's the same way that, like, I'm thinking of how, you know, Google and Amazon built their distribution centers and their server farms like out in the middle of nowhere. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, we're bringing jobs to these areas. And so that's why they're great. And so I'm thinking about the Bitcoin grift and just how they're, oh, well, we can bring jobs to this rural area. Like, we can help these people. But the rural area is already suffering from so much inconsistency and, you know, bad laws and just like nobody is taking care of these people. But then this like light of capitalism comes in, you know, creates a little HQ, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess this is what's supposed to save us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening in other states like this. It's definitely not exclusive to New York, like turning old power plants or like abandoned plants of any kind, like into Bitcoin mines. Like it's happening, I believe, in Kentucky and other states. And it's like, yeah, Flo, I think you're right. Instead of, you know, turning those plants into like places where, you know, renewable energy could be developed or investing resources into developing renewables, like we're just going to flip this old plant into a Bitcoin mine, which is terrible. But yeah, it brings jobs, I guess.
But I mean, in this case, like it's not a ton of jobs. I mean, it's supported by the local electrical workers union. So it's not like it has some support, but you know, there's this tourism industry burgeoning in the Finger Lakes. It's a big wine region. There are tens of thousands of jobs tied to that. And then, you know, like does a power plant burning natural gas 24/7 to mine magical internet money fit within that vision? Like, I think, you know, at least the community members, their answer is like, no way. And so that's why there's this widespread opposition, in addition to obviously being like, we kind of like the climate the way it is and should probably not burn the planet down.
This stuff is hard because it's just, it's so unregulated. And I'm so scared that we're going to have the same issue that we have with tech and the internet right now, which is the government is trying to catch up to like regulate all of this stuff that's been happening, but the damage has already been done. And it just feels like by the time this gets regulated, again, the damage is going to be done.
Well, in this Finger Lakes situation, at least, like maybe something will be done by the time this comes out. And like, that's one tiny step.
And just it's helps tiny set step, a precedent. But I mean,
it also is interesting because...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, what they want to do too is there is a bill currently in the New York State Legislature to have a moratorium on Bitcoin mining. But to get enough support behind it, they had to do a moratorium on new Bitcoin mining. So in theory, this plant and other ones that are already operating could continue to operate. And so there's actually this big rush right now at this plant in particular to install more mining capacity so that when the moratorium in theory does pass, assuming it does, they can just say, well, all right, we'll stop with, you know, the servers we have, which is still a pretty substantial number of GPUs mining Bitcoin. So it's, you know, it speaks to your point though, Flo, like regulation is a lot behind where these mining operations are at, and it needs to catch up ASAP.
And Brian, I think what you said about like the tension between like kind of the local, like what the local people actually want in their community versus like what the Bitcoin, like, you know, the miners think is best is like one tension that I am seeing a lot is like this idea from crypto folks and folks working in NFTs that this is a solution that everyone needs to move towards and it will create a better world. Like they're very ideologically motivated. And that's something we're seeing with this project. But what they fail to account is like how their projects enrich some while leaving some others behind, because this idea of Web3 is not actually the reality of what it is right now or potentially could ever be. So like in both of these instances, there's this real tension between like what it sounds like people who are benefiting and profiting from these projects think is going to happen like in a couple years and the reality of, or, you know, decades from now, and the reality of like what these projects are actually doing on the ground right now in real time to like the climate, to communities, to local economies.
Yeah, this goal is all about like decentralization and everything will be more equitable. And instead, it's just like we're replicating capitalism like, and just calling it something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a private equity firm that bought this mine, right? They vertically integrated a Bitcoin mine for a private equity firm to return investments to their shareholders, right? And like, they're like, oh yeah, we bought like the jaws of life for the local town fire department and things like that, which are, you know, good, right? But like, that's not $88 million good. Like, that money is just a fraction that's staying in the community and not, you know, doing what it needs to be doing, or it's doing maybe what it needs to be doing in their eyes, which is making a few people who are already rich much richer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the guy who founded the Amazon NFT company once helped broker a deal to sell part of an oil company. So it's like, it's not that those people tend to be too good, but I do love have it. Questions about the actual altruistic motivations that they put on their website. If they're not making a buck, then, you know, I would be really surprised.
Yeah.
Well, Molly, Brian, I'm going to link to your wonderful articles in our show notes. And I know we said this was going to be, it turned out to be a really great talk. Like, I'm so happy I had the both of you on. I feel like we should say something unhinged, though, because we said we were going to.
Oh.
But then we ended up, you know, because we're all a bunch of just really smart people. So it's, you know, it's nice that we can get together and laugh and also.
Yeah.
Teach mm-hmm. people.
Teach people. That's what we're all about here at Gadget.
Teaching people.
Just teaching people about Bitcoin mining.
Listen, the earth is melting. This is why. So we're just, you know, we're journalists. We're here to inform.
We are. And I think it's important that people just pay attention to what's happening in their local communities, because that's where you can actually make some sort of difference.
Agreed.
And I think people often just sit back and think like, oh, this is happening. Like, I can't do anything about it. But agitating on the city level is often incredibly effective because, city legislators like hate to be yelled at.
I will put out a pitch. If you see a Bitcoin project in your community that is like, hang on, what the fuck is happening? Email me. Don't email Brian. Email me.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
We did it. We did it. We brought that.
Oh, no.
Wow. Was this a Gizmodo setup this whole time to be like, oh, Gizmodo's going to get all the scoops now?
Listen.
Unbelievable.
I need the scoops.
This is a Gizmodo podcast.
Oh my God. Gizmodo versus Protocol? No.
No. I'm not putting that into the ether. I refuse. We're all after the same goal here, to tell people about the grift.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a blast. Thank you,
this
Molly.
This was good. Molly, Brian, thank you so much for just sharing your wonderful work. And I can't wait to read more from you guys.
Thanks, guys. Well,
thanks for having us.
A pleasure.
It's nice to see everyone.
You too.
Bye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Well, there's nothing that us pale people love more than to go outside with lots of SPF. Isn't that right, Caitlin?
I thought you were going to say something about like how much we love nature because of the climate and like we're trying to preserve the earth. But no, you just went straight for a personal attack.
I did. Well, it's not a personal. I'm wearing SPF right now and I'm inside.
Okay. I mean, same. It's just a fact of life for Flo and I. We are translucent and
we are.
It's fine. Yes, but we do spend a lot of time outside wearing hats and long sleeves. And
I do. Flo, that's right.
We both love to hike and do other outdoorsy things. So one of my favorite things, and this is slightly tech adjacent, is I like to pull up All Trails and just scroll through all of the nearby urban hikes in LA that I haven't done yet. And there are quite a few. I don't know if you know this, but LA is like, it's big.
Well, there's I know a lot this. Of hikes.
Yes, you do. You are aware. Yeah, and it's just fun to like read reviews from people and like see, you know, how strenuous the hike is. And you can find like basically like you can filter. I mean, you can't filter by mood, but it feels like that. Like you can just assess the vibe very quickly from the All Trails app, which highly recommend if you have never used it.
I also really like the All Trails app. Yeah. Well, I also found it really helpful because with my kid, she's not really of hiking age yet, but like obviously I want to try and take her outside in the stroller. And so because of the reviews, which I would suggest if you don't pay for All Trails, it's $30 a year for the membership. And even if you use it a couple times, if you're looking for very specific trail information, this is how to get it. I was able to figure out like where people have taken strollers, like where I can actually, where there's actual pavement and things that you won't really get from looking at a Google map or, you know, going to like a park website. So those, I like those like user, you know, submitted situations. And to that end, I will also say, in terms of finding hiking in your neighborhood, let's say you live in a really hilly place like I do, Strava is really great for figuring out who in your neighborhood has figured out like their own routines. And so you can see like, oh, this person goes up and down this hill, you know, this many times to like get exercise, or this person has figured out that you can like walk behind these houses and there's like a little trail and that'll give you like a 2 mile walk, you know, something like that. So I've kind of appreciated having access to that. Again, publicly serviceable information, people just submitting. And Strava also added some privacy features now so that nobody can see where you start and end. So it's kind of just a nice way to be like, oh, I can take that route as a trail. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Strava for a while got a little, it was a little dicey because they like so many people use Strava and it's obviously uses the GPS on your phone or if you have the app on like a GPS device, like a watch. And like it was showing Strava users at like military bases that no one knew existed. So they got in a lot of trouble back in the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on a normal like day-to-day basis, like their data is really useful to see like where people have gone and what routes you can run and stuff like that. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Caitlin, have you ever tried any of those guided walks? I'm very curious because you know that like the Peloton app, if you have, you know, if you're just paying for the classes or you have the device at home, whatever, treadmill, bike, you can actually, you know, listen to some classes while you're out with music and have somebody be like, walk faster, walk slower.
I do.
You do?
I do. They're actually, yeah, they're extremely good. Yeah, the Peloton, the audio runs and like walks, they have like so many different types. So you could do like a 20-minute power walk or like a 30-minute run or like, and you can just pick the time frame.
Is this you walking like through LA, like with your socks, your white socks kind of hiked up a little bit?
Oh, I don't really do that. Look, I have like very stubby legs.
Very
so
90s.
I don't try to cut them off with like a white sock situation.
I can understand that.
We try to elongate the leg. Yeah, I think the power walks are really good. I actually do use them. Some of the guided runs are funny because it'll be like I'm running through a neighborhood and running past houses and the instructor will be like, all right, high kicks. And I look like I'm trying not to be like in my body at that moment. It's like I'm like away from myself because I don't want to. Yeah, it's a lot.
You don't want to access like ridiculous. The embarrassment neuron,
right?
Because you know that like if you were in a gym class doing this, it'd be fine because you'd be surrounded by other people. But because it's just you in your ears, nobody knows why you're
nobody
kicking
knows
in
what
the
I'm
air.
Listening to. And they're like, yeah, they're like, oh, she was running and all of a sudden high kicks. What's happening out there? Yeah. I haven't
dealt
with any private security
like...
guards yet. I know. It's absurd. But anyway, great form of exercise. I've talked about the Peloton app on the pod before, but I think it's worth the money. Like, I take so many classes that are not on the bike. I take like yoga, and like the stretching classes are really good.
Oh, yeah, the stretching classes are really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them too because they have music. That's one of my frustrations with some of the fitness apps that I use is if they'll have classes, there's no music to accompany it. So it's like, I want to take your classes, teacher, that, you know, I've been following for years, but I need something else in the background.
Yeah. The Peloton music library is extensive and it's good. They just added a Reba McEntire class. Listen.
Did you watch her at the Oscars?
I did.
You did?
Iconic. That song is horrible, but like, wow, she is amazing. Still, that song is, how is that song nominated for an Oscar?
I know.
Anyway, Reba's a queen. Reba can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fitting that my last episode, I'd go out talking about Reba McEntire.
Listen, I also DM'd you about another redhead that we absolutely stan, which is Nicole Kidman, because I was watching her and Keith Urban and how they were like lovingly holding each other's hands during the ceremony, as like a couple does, you know, when they're watching a movie or like, you know, enjoying something together.
No, I love them. They've been like through some real shit together and like... And she
anybody with Tom Cruise as an ex? Come on.
Yeah. She obviously appreciates her current life very much, and we love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what I really like to see. It's some humanity from these people who make so much money.
Yes. You know, stars, they're just like us.
They're just like us. Caitlin, I am sad that this is your last co-hosting gig with me here, but... This isn't the last to the people are going to hear of you.
Yes.
You're still in my circle bubble. So,
yes, you know. I will continue to torment you on all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter, text, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
it was an absolute delight to be able to have 22 episodes. Well, actually, technically, you were off for like one or two of them. So 20 episodes.
But... Wow. Let's not round down, okay? I was here from the beginning, and that's what counts.
Sorry, I was being so pedantic. I didn't mean to be. I didn't mean to cut into that. Okay. But, you know, I just wanted to be factual. It's the whole journalist thing.
Yes.
You're afraid to, like, say a wrong fact.
It's true.
It's anxiety.
But it was great to launch this with you. I'm glad that people have enjoyed it. It's been a blast for us. And, yeah, I'm sure we'll do this again sometime.
She'll be back, folks. Don't worry.
Back. I'll be back. I know.
She's not going anywhere. As for me, I will be back here next week. So please be sure that you are subscribed to us wherever you get your podcasts. That's Gadgets. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, where we also have our own special vanity URL, which shout out to Pocket Casts for that. We'd also like to thank our producer and sound engineer, Ryan Allen, who's also going to be back here with me next week to help make sense of the wild gadget and tech news that's going on around us. Also want to thank our cover designer, Vicky Lita, who's out there making beautiful art. And a reminder that if you have any questions, comments, concerns about Caitlin's leaving, you can send me an email, gadgets at gizmodo.com.
No.
It's going to be fine, but if you need to write me, I'm here for you to offer a little support in this trying time. You can also tweet us at Gizmodo, but if you really do need to talk about what's going on, email's the best, I would have to say. It's the most personal. So, something to take into consideration. Until next week, everybody, thank you so much for listening in. We really appreciate you, everyone who's followed us, subscribed to us, downloaded our podcast, or sent us feedback. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Until next week, everyone, be safe. Yeah, let's plow ahead. All right, I didn't do any show notes for this, so we're just gonna...
We're good.
Grab it by the horns. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Because I'm a Taurus, that's why I made that.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering where you were going with that. You're gonna what? The end of an era.